The first time I stepped up to a microphone to do the jokes, I wasn't at all anticipating that such a habit was to become my life. There wasn't much about me up until that point that would have suggested I was a natural performer. I'd had next to zero exposure to any creative industries when I was growing up, and on the rare occasion I spoke, I was barely heard and I barely cared. When I first tried stand-up, I was in my late 20s and too old to begin a career that demands all the best habits of young people, such as late-night loitering, talking about yourself all the time, and masking low self-esteem with false confidence. But I am a late-blooming type, so I took to it all very well. Although my parents were always incredibly supportive of all their children's ambitions, they, like most small-town folk of minimal means, were understandably biased toward more reliable career avenues, or at least ones that existed. So, it is unsurprising that Mum would sometimes stray into the badlands of active discouragement, like the time I declared when I was about 8 years old that I wanted to be a dog when I grew up, and she counselled me to consider a more practical vocation, like not being so bloody stupid. I tried to explain that I didn't want to be just any old dog and told her of my intention of becoming a paratrooping German shepherd in the SAS, to which Mum sensibly replied, "The army wouldn't let you join, sweetheart. You've got flat feet." Even when she would knock a dream dead the very first time she met it, there was always an immutable truth to be found at the root of her no-can-do attitude. I think I was about 12 when she casually flicked my writing ambitions out of contention by observing, "But you don't have anything to say. You have to be interesting to be a writer, you know." During the early stages of writing this memoir, I began asking a lot of questions about what I was like when I was a little kid, but each time I broached the subject, she would respond in a way that suggested she didn't think it was any of my business who I am. "Why do you need to know that?" she'd retort, as shocked and defensively as if I'd inquired about her postmenopausal habits of masturbation. The closest I ever got to an answer was a list of the defining traits of my siblings. Justin was the loving one. Jessica was the leader. Ben was the most intelligent. And Hamish was the funny one. This was likely an attempt to encourage me to be more interested in other people, but I'm more inclined to believe she meant it as an inventory of qualities that do not apply to me. Mum's determined efforts to raise her children to become humble humans paid off, as I think all of us tend to use the good manners and self-deprecation she drilled into us more often than we don't. But I don't think her success was achieved entirely through encouraging good behaviour. Some credit does need to go to some of her more hardline strategies, such as celebrating our successes through the metaphor of our failures. For example, when I won an award for creative writing in primary school, Mum made sure any pride I felt about awards was tempered with a sobering reminder that I still hadn't made any friends. I made my final attempt to express artistic ambition when I was a sullen 15-year-old and told Mum I wanted to be an artist. She asked me why I would want to become an alcoholic, before adding, "Because you'll wear a winter coat with holes in the pocket, and your bottles of grog will keep falling out and smashing on the pavement." To this day, the specificity of her cautionary scenario still stuns me. So when, at age 27, I told her that I was going to pursue a career as a stand-up comedian, I was shocked when, instead of total resistance, she was simply confused, exclaiming, "But I'm funnier than you." Such unbridled encouragement probably came from a sense of relief, because although I had managed to avoid both alcoholism and artistry, I'd still carved out a fairly tragic existence for myself. At 27 years of age, I was thoroughly unemployed, drifting, without a home, and profoundly alone. I don't think any of my friends or family really knew that my existence was so utterly grim, because to be fair, nor did I. I've only recently been able to comprehend just how terrible a life I'd been leading. Sure, I was alive, but that was about it. I didn't have anything to look forward to, much less a dream to fall back on.